Five Things First Thing with JR Morning's Chris Renwick, Lloyd Jackson, and Jamie Edmonds.
6:05, happy Tuesday. Good to have you. Good to see Lloyd Jackson back in
the
seat.
It's good to be back.
We have a lot to talk about today. And when you look at what we talked a little bit yesterday, Jamie, about the Supreme Court, this idea of Donald Trump having the power to remove board members, active members of these groups, whether that he has the power, the president of the United States has the power to remove these folks in these independent agencies. It sure seems like the Supreme Court is going to rule in favor of Donald Trump here.
It sure does. That's a 6-3 conservative majority. And it looked like during oral arguments yesterday that they were going to overturn a 1935 Supreme Court ruling called Humphrey's Executor v. United States. And Neil Gorsuch basically said that was poorly reasoned. And he said there's no such thing in our constitutional order as a fourth branch of government, like an independent, strictly independent agency. And obviously, it seems like they believe that the president has the purview to fire someone like Rebecca Kelly Slaughter, as he did. They kept her fired during this process. And so that's what it's looking like. We're going to get to the bottom of it with Richard Freeman from the University of Michigan, what he heard during oral arguments. But I think we all kind of heard the same thing.
Yeah. John Roberts, the Chief Justice, called it a dry husk, Humphreys. He said that this FTC of today doesn't look anything like it did in 1935 because they have way more power, significant executive power now, more than they did back in the 30s. So maybe this is kind of a launching pad to some of the other things that Donald Trump's been arguing that he does have power over.
Yes, the increase in executive power here is the question, and the liberals on the bench are saying, you're asking us to destroy the structure of government and take away from Congress its ability to protect the idea that this is all structured better when agencies are independent.
Mm. Donald Trump also is allocating $12 billion in farm aid from the money that is coming into the United States from tariffs. He says that, you know, farmers don't want a handout. They just want stability. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to operate as usual. And they feel like they haven't been able to because of all of the issues that have been going on in the supply chain, and the energy costs have been so high. Donald Trump specifically mentioned inflation as being a key kind of deterrent for their business over the last number of years. So he says $12 billion is going to go to farmers.
But did he mention the tariffs, which was creating instability for the farmers?
The only time he mentioned the tariffs was that because the United States is bringing in so much money that they can allocate this money.
But what happens if it's determined that the tariffs, you know, are unconstitutional, or he can't do it? Then what happens to that money that he gives the farmers? Do they have to give it back, or, you know, are we going to have to return some of this tariff money that we've collected?
We'll definitely have to return some of the tariff money. I don't think the farmers would have to return the money. They'd have to, like, move money around just like everyone does in their personal finance.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
It just strikes me as, like, $12 billion isn't that much. I mean, yes, it's a lot. Obviously, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that impactful.
I think it does to the farmers. If you listen to them yesterday, they were like, oh, this is like Christmas morning. We're so happy. Thank you, President Trump. The Manufacturers Association saying, you know, the revenue drying up and us not being able to sell soybeans is a big part of this.
Yeah.
We're also going to give tractor companies like John Deere and all the companies that make the equipment, we are going to take off a lot of the environmental restrictions they have on machinery. It's been ridiculous. He also said that, you know, the way that the Biden administration, in terms of their restrictions on energy or water or other necessities to farmers, that they put the brakes on. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the reason why farmers had struggled. And, you know, again, we'll see how this works.
Yeah.
Not uncommon that a president's going to come around after another administration and change things up. But at the same time, the farmers are like, we just want stability. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to sell our products here in the United States. We want to be able to export them. And part of these deals that Donald Trump has made with other countries, the United Kingdom, Australia, others, will allow for more agricultural exports from the United States to these other countries. But we've seen the soybean issue in China.
In China, yes.
Right, where they're buying significantly less soybeans from farmers here in the United States. And that continues to be an issue. Now, they're going to buy some more thanks to the conversations that have been going on between the United States and Beijing, but that doesn't mean that it was at the level it was prior. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're still, a lot of these farmers still are, they're not on an even playing field yet. They just don't have that stability to where they feel like, you know, things are going to be okay.
Correct.
A Michigan judge has ruled that the state's new 24% tax on wholesale cannabis sales can remain in effect for now, rejecting a challenge from the cannabis industry. The decision comes weeks after the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association sued, claiming the tax violated the state constitution. The 24% levy, part of the budget passed in November, is expected to raise $420 million for road construction projects across Michigan. In a 28-page opinion, Judge Saima Patel denied a request to pause the tax, finding the plaintiffs failed to show it conflicted with the Michigan Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act, which legalized adult recreational cannabis. The ruling allows the state to collect the tax while the legal challenge continues. There are really big cannabis stores, companies, that may be able to eat this a little bit and deal with that 24%. But some of these mom-and-pop shops, they say, listen, we can't do 24%. They're going to put us out of business if this goes through. And like I've told you guys before, what ends up happening, it goes to the black market. And the black market people who kind of got pushed out when all the cannabis stores came in, they're saying, oh, okay, well we're back in action again.
Well, what about the thoughts of this as an oversaturated market anyway? And so getting rid of some of these might be a good thing for business.
Well, yeah, you know, because it is, there are a lot of them. They're everywhere, but, you know, they're different types. You got the big chains that have several stores. You got the smaller ones that maybe just have one, maybe two. Those are the ones that are going to get
Well, we've already seen some of those stores close.
Yeah.
Because of the oversaturation on the market.
Yeah.
So it might help. It might course correct. But then you're going to get less stores and higher prices.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the way the market works. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how things go. But at the same time, I mean, to your point, Lloyd, I mean, we saw that drug bust. Where was it? In Oakland County?
In Oakland County, yeah.
Where they had just had, like, boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of pot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's that is always going to be somewhat omnipresent.
It is.
The Lions can control their own destiny if they win down the stretch. Now, it's a tall task because they have to go to the L.A. Rams. But Dan Campbell's asked about this, and last year they were fighting so hard to get that number one seed, you know, home field advantage, and now they're fighting so hard to just get into the playoffs, and he's like, it's kind of the same mentality as last year.
We had to win last year. That's the way it felt. You never felt like you could take a breath last year. You're constantly trying to, you know, it was for something different, but yet you're trying to get the one seed. You're trying to get that home game. You're trying to get the throughout the play, all this stuff, and now it's no different. It's just we got to win.
Feels different for the fans.
Yeah. It's a different set of circumstances.
If this is the way he's coaching, I totally get it. The Athletic New York Times has the Lions with a 39% chance to make the playoffs as of yesterday. And the Packers beating the Bears was actually a good thing for the Lions.
Yeah.
Well, I think that percentage
is rooting for the Packers.
Oh, whatever. You got to do what you got to do, right? I mean, the percentages are so low because of their schedule. I mean, it's just a tough, you know, down the stretch schedule here.
Correct. If they can beat the Rams, then only be one game back of Los Angeles with three games to go. If they don't win, it's still okay. It may all come down to Chicago at the end of this season.
Hmm. Meanwhile, Donald Trump plans to sign an executive order that would establish a single federal one-rule framework on artificial intelligence. Good thing, bad thing. We'll talk about it next on JR Morning.
Every home uses energy differently, and Consumers Energy gets that. That's why my personalized offerings is your one-stop shop for tailor-made energy assistance. From payment plans to energy-saving programs, it's designed to meet your household's unique needs. Just log into your account at consumersenergy.com, click on My Personalized Offerings, and answer a few quick questions. It's free, no risk, and only takes minutes to unlock custom money-saving rewards. Count on Consumers Energy to deliver smart, personalized solutions for your home.
Five things first thing with JR Morning on 760 WJR.